Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today I want to talk about Romans chapter 1. Here we are in the first full week of the season of Lent, a season of repentance, penance, of fasting, of abstinence, of all of which is meant to help us posture ourselves before the grace of God, to see ourselves in light of the truth of God's word, and to trust the Father, to trust the Lord himself, to be able to help us through the grace of the presence of this power, the Spirit in us, to examine our lives before the Lord. It really is a season of examining who we are before him, how we're doing. The Lord's not just keeping score. What he's after is helping you become a saint and me become a saint, for us to be able to live in the freedom fully of the sons and daughters of God. And what prevents that from happening is being still enslaved in different ways to habit patterns of sin, under the bondage in various ways to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the Lord is in our corner. He's on our side. He comes to us to help set us free. And that's what he wants to do. He wants each one of us to be in a place in 40 days, or as we come to the celebration of Easter, to come with a clear conscience, to come with the freedom and the forgiveness and the mercy of God just moving in us, and confidence as children of God before him. That's his goal, and that's what he's after. But what he does want us to do is to get there, we have to be honest and to examine ourselves and to look at what's impacting us and how sin's at work in us, and to make a conscious decision to make a break from it, receiving the grace of God. And now, it's important, one of the things that can happen even in a season like this is to think that our victory over sin is a matter simply of our own willpower. That's not going to happen. We can't just white-knuckle our way through the victory, or we just can't just say no, no, no. It's important for us to say no, by the way, but without yielding to the help that God wants to give us through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sinful desires and sinful pleasures that we're attached to. We need a superior pleasure. We need God himself. We need the life of God, the love of God, the knowledge that he delights in us to be alive in our hearts. And so today I want to just talk about almost, you might say, the big picture of the nature, one of the fundamental central realities of the spiritual battle that we undergo. It's important for us to know and understand so we can live with a renewed mind. We can understand the nature of the battle and what the enemy's strategy is against us. And in particular, Romans 1, I've talked about it a few times over the years, this past year as well. Pope Benedict XVI described this passage as a description of what is the constant temptation of the human race in any time, in any generation. But it's particularly alive today in the midst of this dark spiritual battle that's going on. It's one of the fundamental reasons why the Lord is shaking the nations and why he's shaking the church, and he's exposing the habit patterns of sin that's in the church. So let's go to Romans 1, verse 18. It says, "For God's wrath," that's God's judgment is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. So what Paul is telling us right away, that the wickedness of men and ungodliness, which is what we want to look at, is that is any of this in our life now, or as we walk through this season of Lent, is expressed through what? Through the suppression of the truth. That's where it comes from. The suppression of the truth, Paul will go on to describe. He said, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." What's plain to them? The truth about what's good, what's evil. We have a conscience. Nature itself has equipped us to have some capacity and the voice of conscience within us to do good, avoid evil. It says, "Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature," that's God's invisible nature, "namely his eternal power and his deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." So God, his power, the creative reality of who God is, the basic order that God himself has established, it's here, it's perceptible. Even fallen man can grasp it. And we have, again, this help within us, this voice of conscience, which is imperfect, but it's still present. It helps us understand and discern what is good, what is evil. And so, but Paul is saying, Why is God's judgment coming? Why is God giving people over to what they're choosing? Why? Because they've suppressed the truth about God himself. They don't want to know God. We don't want to follow God. That's part of the temptation that we're very susceptible to as fallen human beings. So Paul goes on. He said, so they were without excuse. Because why? Because these things are manifest in some way. There's no excuse for it. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. How do you honor God? You obey God. That's what Jesus showed us so clearly, right? Perfectly expressed on the cross, which we'll meditate a lot on in the next few weeks. Perfectly expressed in that glorious hymn in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus honored the Father. How? He emptied himself. How did he do that? He took on the form of a servant in becoming obedient to the Father. He humbled himself even unto death. He expressed that obedience, that humility, even death on a cross. And for that, God highly exalted him. He honored the Father, acknowledging the Father's authority and ordering his life to it from his heart and his will and mind and strength. So he honored him as God and he gave him thanks. That is, Jesus' life was ordered to him, to the Father. He lived, he said, to do the Father's will is my delight. Basically, it's my very food, Jesus said. He goes on, Paul, that is. He says, but they became then futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. So when human beings suppress the truth about God, whether we're fully conscious of it or not, we refuse to give to God what belongs to God, we step out of light and into darkness. We step out of reality into unreality. And we decide to choose what is fundamentally futile. That is to pretend we can live a life as if God didn't exist. That there's a good life, there's a happy life, there's a fulfilling life ultimately, apart from acknowledging the truth of God and ordering our life to that truth. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Remember what Jesus said to St. Paul at his conversion, as Paul recounted it various times. Jesus, he was blinded by the glory and the presence and the purity and the majesty of Jesus. And he said that Jesus said to him to stand up, that he was going to send him on a mission, and he was going to lead people from darkness to light and from Satan to God. There's only two realities at that level in the cosmos. It's the light of the kingdom of God, and it's the darkness of the kingdom of the enemy. What characterizes the kingdom of the enemy is lies, deception, sin, rebellion, slavery. These are things that fundamentally characterize the kingdom of darkness. And if we decide to step out of the light of God's truth, the light of God is expressed fundamentally in his truth, his goodness, his beauty, his love. These are realities that when we decide to suppress the truth about God, we suppress those realities. And then we necessarily have entered into darkness. And then when human beings don't have the light of God's truth and don't have the light of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, faith, hope, and love operating inside us fully, we fall back into darkness. Darkness means slavery. It means slavery to sin, habit patterns of sin, bondage. And we give sin reign over us. We give sin power over us that it does not have when we're in Christ. But when we suppress the truth about God and step out of his will, because we're smarter than God or whatever motivation that's present in doing that, our senseless minds become dark and we can't see reality clearly. Paul says in verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged something. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, beasts, so idols. Even the natural man can know something about the true God. But the natural man doesn't have the graces operating in him that we do. But just as the natural man can give himself over to slavery, to idols, something less than himself, Christians can fall away from the faith because they're giving in to things that ultimately are expression of suppressing the truth about God and stepping outside of God's life and light. Verse 24 then goes on, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. When we suppress the truth about God, the things that emerge almost automatically is idolatry. So we give ourselves up to creatures or things created by creatures instead of God. And then we give ourselves up to impurity. So the first thing that happens when you suppress the truth about God is sexual immorality is one of the fundamental expressions of what happens. I get into habit patterns, a sexual revolution. God gives you over. And so people start pursuing it and thinking they're going to find happiness in it. And that's step one. And then he goes on in verse 26 to say, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and their men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed in themselves shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the penalty of their own errors. So not only just sexual immorality in general, but that God gives them, there's a deeper perversion of the disordering of sex itself, of men desiring men, women desiring women, and the like. But then it goes on again. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. So it's a reprobate mind. It's a mind that has stepped into the lie. It's been consumed with habit patterns of sin and things that are a natural consequence of stepping in the lie, and it's enslaved them because they deny the truth about God. They deny the truth about their own nature, can't even see it, don't want to see it. And then that reality, the denial of the truth and stepping outside reality itself, then starts expressing itself in many ways in people's lives. And we see that again and again. You know, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 23, Isaiah the prophet said so clearly, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men mixing strong drink. And he kind of goes on and describes various things. But fundamentally, what happens is you start calling a reprobate mind is one that gets unhinged from the truth, which means you're unhinged from the ground of reality. And then you start making up your own reality. And that's what God gives human beings over to what they want. After in so many ways in mercy trying to call them back, he won't force us. So we just keep doubling down and darkness gains greater and greater power over us. And then we start calling a lie truth. And truth a lie. And things like we call a woman a man. We deny the humanity of a child in the womb. You name the kind of things we start then celebrating, actually. Things that offend God, that actually harm us, we start to celebrate. We take them all over the world. We fly flags. We light up towers like Governor Cuomo did in New York to celebrate the fact that New Yorkers could kill babies right up to their first breath. This is a darkened mind. This is a reprobate mind. I want to talk about this more tomorrow because it's important for us to be able to see it and understand it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.